I'd like to just open us up in a word of prayer, if I may. As we pray together, I'd like just to share a tradition with you all. We represent two different congregations as New Hope and First Baptist. I think as God looks at us, He looks at us as the Church of God in Jesus Christ here in Tarrytown as one church. Would you join hands with the people around you as we pray together? Father, we are instructed in your word that when one person comes home to you that did not know you before and puts their faith in you, that there is a rejoicing up in heaven with the angels. And we thank you, Father, that as we commemorate that salvation, that conversion in baptism today, with these 11 brothers and sisters, we thank you, Father, that we can be assured that there is a rejoicing among angels and in your courtroom in heaven tomorrow. We ask, Father God, that as you are here together with us, that the joy that we have would be the joy that we feel as we welcome these brothers and sisters, as they get baptized and commemorate and honor their salvation in you. But we pray that most of all that it would be your joy that we feel, your peace, as the full fruit of your Holy Spirit. For we ask this, God, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are really happy here to be together as one church. And as Tori was saying, we've gotten to know each other just a little bit over through the years. The connection actually extends a little bit before to when I arrived, when I went to seminary up in Gordon-Conwell, up in Boston. As I believe his father, Haddon Robinson, has been here many times to preach in this pulpit. And as he knows, Haddon Robinson, Dr. Robinson, was my preaching professor up at Gordon-Conwell. And so, but for about a year, we learned preaching under him, myself and our fellow classmates. And as Tori is, Haddon Robinson is somewhat of a big, large man. And when he preaches, there is such an amazing firepower that, as you probably know, that comes out of him. Such an amazing skill that he deploys in the pulpit that we were all more than a little bit intimidated by him. And over the course of a year, we have many different preaching assignments that are due over the course of a given semester. And there was one assignment that I was late in. And so I still remember sitting in that classroom. And as all my other fellow classmates went up and handed in their preaching assignments that were due on that day, I waited until nearly every single one of them left. And my heart kind of sunk as I saw everybody else go up. And they were finished. And I had not finished my assignment for that specific preaching that was due. And so it was with an immense amount of dread that I went up, and I very sheepishly could not look his father in the eye, and I just kind of mumbled, "Dr. Robinson," I said, "I wasn't able to finish, and could I just please have one more day?" And I still was not looking up at him at this moment, but I felt on my right shoulder there was this very large arm and hand coming down. I did not think he was going to strike me. There was a rule of conduct at Gordon that he had to obey, but my body instinctively just kind of braced itself. There was an immensely strong, gentle hand that fell on my shoulder as a voice with love came forward and said, "Take one more day." He said, "Give it to me tomorrow." I can't express to you, this has been one of a thousands of instances in my life where my heart just began to enlarge. And I still remember as I walked from the classroom to my dorm room, there was a swelling up inside as God was speaking through that event. I was practically skipping on the way home. It was such a small little thing, but it was another instance in which God spoke to me again and again. There has been a one-note song that God has been singing to me since my conversion. There's been a one-note sermon that God has been preaching to me since my conversion. That one song, that one note has been grace from beginning to end. As I walk my journey homeward to heaven, I sometimes veer to the left and I feel like, "God, I've sinned so much. You must no longer love me because of all my sin." And God brings me back and says, "By grace you have been saved." There's times I will drift to the other side and say, if I do this, will I earn your acceptance if I do this? And God says, "Grace, grace to you who love the Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." And he brings me back to this plumb line of grace again and again. Every single one of us who are saved by a grace. And it is that one message, that one note that God means to bury in our heart in the most deepest location of our faith, and that all of our righteousness and all of our good works would sprout from that one root of grace. Even preparing for this baptism service, God's been taking me again and again to what it means that I'm saved by God in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he's been taking me back to things that I remember back a long time ago in the 80s when I was saved during my conversion. And I got immediately plugged into an amazing group of people called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And it would be fantastic if InterVarsity or Crusade came to EF. They nurtured me in my faith. And the thing that they did right more than anything else is they put my faith and planted it squarely on the gospel. Grace is the architecture which governs the gospel, and the gospel is the architecture which governs our growing in faith. And so I will never forget the things that I learned that first year. I went to a conference with IV, and they had, this was back in the beginning of Christian media. The production values were extremely poor. The acting was not good, but the message was unmistakable. And they turned on this little video at the beginning of this conference. And I remember seeing that there was this person, and he was a bridge operator that was responsible among a crew of people for a bridge that was over a huge abyss. And in the video, as it went on, there was this train full of people smiling, just kind of going about their daily routine on a train. And this train was about to pass into this abyss, and these people were all about to plummet to their death. This one train bridge operator all of a sudden noticed when he saw that train coming across that the bridge had not been closed down so they could pass. And so that it was with great alarm, this man runs to the control, but as he runs to the control, there is a window through which he can see that train, he can see that bridge which needs to be closed. And as he runs to that lever, there is a picture of his son, of this little boy playing underneath that bridge. There was a little piece of land where that bridge needed to come down before it could bridge that chasm, and his son was there on one of the banks. As he watched his son, the picture zooms in on his face, and you could see a horror of realization as it occurs to him in a flash. In one moment, he realizes, I can either save the people or I can save my son. But I cannot both save the people and save my son. There is one moment of resignation in his heart as he comes and he closes down that lever. And he brings the bridge down, which comes and lowers itself upon his son. He brings the bridge down, which crushes his son. And there is a moment as he looks out at the window at those people with love. As you can see, these people pass over safely over the life of his son. The picture fades to blackness, and these words emerge and dissolve into view. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The belief, the faith, and the trust that we put in Christ Jesus, our faith unites us to the grace that is given to us so that we may be saved in Jesus alone. That faith is, but is more than merely understanding it with our mind that God sent his son Jesus to die for us. It is more than the stirring of our emotions at that fact. And it is more than living that out through our wills. There is a being united, a union with his son in his death and in his resurrection that is our conversion, which is most perfectly symbolized in what we're about to do today in baptism. So we'll just take you with one to one verse of scripture, one passage of scripture. If you will just turn briefly to the book of Romans in chapter 6. And let me just read this portion of scripture in chapter 6, starting from verse 2. By no means we died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. We must never think that it is about us ultimately by which we are saved. There is a being united with Christ by which we die to sin and then are raised to the newness of life. When we say that he has been crucified, the sinless Savior for our sinful souls, it means that he could not possibly have been crucified for his own sins. He was crucified because our sins were transferred upon him, and there he was punished and died our death. By that same way, when we are made righteous, we are not made righteous by our own works of righteousness, but we are made righteous because his righteousness has been transferred onto us, and we are clothed with Christ. In closing, I would like to just give one word of application, especially for those people who are being baptized today. Just a wonderful stroke of God's sovereignty occurred in the fact that when we had our baptism class last week on Saturday, that same afternoon I was conducting a wedding up in Connecticut. And so we were doing the wedding rehearsal on that day. And as we were going through the wedding rehearsal, and I was taking all the parents and the bridal party through all the preparations that need to happen and going through the ceremony. It was going longer than we had allotted, and I had allotted a certain amount of time because we had to also be at the rehearsal dinner afterwards, and I was going to break and go down to my folks and to do the baptismal class. But it kept on extending longer and longer as people wanted to get everything just right. And as we were going through that, part of me was thinking, oh, I've got to get back. I've got to get back to teach the baptismal class. But another part of myself is keeping me here at that wedding rehearsal. And the reason why is that as I was looking at the bride and looking at the groom and looking at their family members, and they were kind of looking back at me as, are we doing this right? And when should we come up? And I don't feel quite comfortable. And I wanted them to be comfortable. I wanted them to be confident. I wanted them to be so full and set on that day that when they get married, that they could fully enjoy it and know what they're doing and know the full meaning of it. For it was a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence that was going to happen on their wedding day. And yet at the same time, as the time kind of closed and I thought we've got it about as well as I think we can get it in the rehearsal, at that point I had to break and I had to say, I'm so sorry, but I've got to go back down to a baptismal class that I'm leading for our church. And what gave me the boldness to continue to say, I've got to go and I really need to leave now, was that I also had a group of people down in Westchester who were about to partake in a once-in-a-lifetime moment where they would symbolize, as in a wedding, their commitment and their union and their covenanting with God in Christ Jesus. It is a once and for all salvation by which we have been saved, and it's a once for all baptism in which you are baptized. So I'd like to just close with you in prayer. As we do this baptism, and as these 11 people get baptized, there's something that I see in weddings oftentimes, and as the husband and wives are exchanging their vows and committing their lives together, was amazingly beautiful act that I think I see is that many people who've already been married, who sometimes have been married for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, as the brand new bride and groom are confessing their love for one another, I see the husband and wife take their hands and remember their covenant vow and the basis on which their marriage is based. And so as we here are are allowed the opportunity to share in these 11 baptisms, would ask that you'd also reflect back to when you are saved, by what grace you have been given, by which you also have been united with Christ in his death and been raised with him into newness of life. Would you pray with me as we prepare ourselves for this baptism? Jesus, it is an unspeakable thing, an amazing grace by which you have given your Son because of your love for us, so that his sinlessness would be united with our sinfulness. And that, Jesus, that you would absorb into yourself all of our sin and be punished and take and bear the wrath of God that was ours until God himself, the just, is satisfied. And we think of it as an amazing gift, the greatest thing that we possess, that Jesus, that you have transfused through your blood, your righteousness into us to make us clean, perfectly anew, that we would be born again. Jesus, as we come before you now, and as we go through this baptism, would your Holy Spirit now hover above the waters as you hovered above the waters at creation, that we would be able to celebrate this here, the making of a new creation in Christ Jesus. For we say these things in your name. Amen.
If any of you are children and would like to, not, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, you're welcome to sit down in here so you can actually see what's going on here. We oftentimes encourage the kids at our church to do that, but we'd love to have, and if a mother or father needs to sit down here, you can as well, just on the floor here in front, just so you can get a good view of what's going to take place. And as they come up, as we anticipate the baptisms of each of the people that are being baptized today, it's a treat for us, and I'm sure this is true for those of you at New Hope as well. When you know the people who are being baptized, you know a little bit about their stories and what God has done, and we've asked each of them to share briefly a little bit about their stories. Because of the number of people getting baptized, we've stressed keeping it brief, but we wanted you to hear why they're up here, why they're getting baptized. And there are two people getting baptized from our church today, Rita Polsoni and John Sampaio. And as they are getting baptized, it's a thrill for me as their pastor to see them get baptized, because I know both of them have come to this moment not out of a sense of coercion or like they have to, but because they want to express their faith in Christ. I'm going to ask Rita to come first and then John. So Rita, let me help you in. Rita, would you just share in your own words why you are here, what your commitment is in baptism today?
Yes, I'm here to be baptized, to be stronger in my faith. I've been baptized as a little baby, but now I want to be stronger in Jesus Christ, because as a little girl, I was a soldier of Christ, and I still am a soldier of Christ. But I want to be stronger because he's helped me through many a difficulty, through a lot of things that I've been through in my whole life. And I am very honored to be baptized, a little nervous too. I'm not going to say I'm not afraid. And I have my little cross here that I'm wearing. And that's a sign also of Jesus, of his love and his death on the cross. So this little cross that I'm wearing right now is a sign that of his love and sacrifice for us and for me as well. Thank you.
Rita, let me ask you three questions. Do you admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior?
Yes.
And are you trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation?
Yes.
And with his help, do you endeavor to follow him fully the rest of your life?
Yes.
Well, Rita, it's my privilege to baptize you. I'll have you stand right here. Grab your nose. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. Ready? Does that go? Just squat under if you want. Go ahead and just duck under. There you go. Raised again in newness of life. For those of you who've ever been nervous about a baptism, try doing it when you're blind. Rita has been just a wonderful testimony of trusting God through all this. John? John, tell us your story.
Good morning. My journey began almost 19 years ago. That was the first time that I came to a Baptist church. It was either the first or second Sunday after the fire when then my fiancé asked me to come to Sunday services, which I don't know if most of you know, was across the street on that church. After I was married, I continued to come once in a while. Mainly, I was just trying to be the good husband. Nothing against the pastor, but I could not wait for the services to be over. I used to love when the pastor would say the final benediction. After my sons were born, I continued to come because I wanted them to be brought up in the church, not because I was a religious person, but I felt it was good for them. Looking back, I guess God was starting to work his magic without me knowing. At the time, I felt there wasn't a need for me to accept God into my life. I could handle all the life's problems. It wasn't until several years ago when I went through a dark time in my personal life that I felt the need to know God and accept him into my life. After struggling to work out the problem by myself, I found myself losing the battle. It wasn't until I let God into my life that I was able to overcome the problems that I was facing. Today, I still love when the pastor says the final benediction, but not because the service I've ended, but because I know that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Thank you.
Oh, let me ask you the questions. I'm sorry. I forget what we're doing. This is a baptism, after all. John, do you admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior?
Yes.
And are you trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation?
Yes, I am.
And with his help, do you endeavor to follow him fully the rest of your life?
Yes, I am.
Well, then let me try this again. It's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised again in newness of life. And kids, you're welcome to stay seated. We'll have some more baptism in just a moment. But as I pray, the worship team's going to come up and lead us in a couple more songs. Let me lead us in prayer. Father God, I thank you for the testimonies of Rita and John. I know for them that this was a significant commitment that neither of them took lightly. And Father, I know that you have worked in significant ways in their lives. And Lord, I pray that this would just be the beginning of the ways that you use them. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to hear of your Spirit's work in the lives of men and women that we know and love. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Won't you stand? Join us as we worship.
time together with our two churches. We have non-baptisms here today that we are going to be coming together for. When we first started out a few weeks, months ago, it was four baptisms, and then it became five, and seven, and then eight, and then a week ago it became nine. And this is just what happens when you don't have a Baptist church, and it just kind of accumulate until you can get to a Baptist church, and you can have the use of this baptismal. And we're going to do baptism at least a little bit differently than I've ever done baptism before. We believe that you come to Christ alone, and no one can make that decision for you, and it's between you and God. But the wonderful thing that we see in the book of Acts in chapter 16 is that at times the movement of God's Spirit was so strong that when somebody got converted, like Lydia or the Philippian jailer, the first thing that they wanted to do is share the gospel and new birth with their family. And we had this wonderful thing that we saw families in households get baptized together, each in accordance with their own faith and relationship in Christ Jesus, but they were able to join in that together. And so this day, everyone has a family member that they're going to be baptized with together, that they would be able to be united with Christ and also share that together as with the people that they love the most in the world. And so we want to invite them together as family members to give a very, 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 very brief testimony, and then we'll baptize them together. Stan, do you want to come forward? This is Rachel, his daughter. Rachel, do you both of you want to come forward? Would you come to the line?
Hi, good morning. Wonderful to be here. And it certainly is not a coercion. A little bit stubborn in my ways. I've been, most of my life, God was missing. I've not been baptized as a child, and I started to come to New Hope. Actually, I was one of the first members of New Hope, going back about 14, 15 years. And even as I was trying to understand, there were certain barriers I felt, so many barriers, layers upon layers that had built up over the years. It took a long time for all that to come off. It was only last year that I felt everything just come off during the retreat with Pastor Rich Hodge, where I felt the Holy Spirit just take over. And I can tell you right now, I've been reborn. There's been regeneration, thirst, new appetite, yearning, just everything. I just want to know more, want to do more. And I felt joy. I feel joy like I've never felt before. And I thank God, Jesus. And that's why I'm here. Thank you.
Stan, I'm going to ask you from Galatians 2:20. Have you been crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you?
Yes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is his daughter, Rachel, on.
Okay, I don't even know what to say, because it's funny, because yesterday I had a script in front of me when I was talking to a bunch of people in the crowd, but today I decided, you know, just let it go and do it from your heart. So I don't really have a testimony, but all I can say is there's nothing I can say. I there's nothing I can do, but yet God still pours every drop of his love and his grace and his mercy and his peace and his patience on all of us. And it's so true that I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me from now on. And so that way I can no longer be the same and go back to my old patterns. And forever I'm changed. So thanks.
I'm just going to ask you.
I say the verse.
Yeah. Have you been crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you?
Yes, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is Alex Lee and his wife Sharon Lee.
Hi, everyone. It's very warm in here. It's like a hot tub. I kind of like it in here. I am a man of very few words. So I'm going to just put it very succinctly. I want to thank the Heavenly Father and my best friend, my hero, my Savior, Lord Jesus, for taking away my fear. Take away my fear of failure. Take away my fear of not being a good husband. Not being a good father, brother, friend. And I thank Jesus for helping with my anger and my bitterness and giving me peace. Thank you, Jesus.
Have you been crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you?
I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Same with Rachel. I don't have anything prepared to say, but all I could say is that through all the things that have happened in my life, which made sense and some didn't, makes sense. God had been there. And that throughout my life, countless ways I had been so unfaithful, yet he remained faithful. And not only that, he gave me strength and the hope and everlasting love that I can believe in. So I thank him.
And I would ask you, have you been crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you?
Yes, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
And I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here we have almost the entire Huang household, Q Huang and Christina Huang and their daughter Megan Huang.
Hi, I'm going to keep this brief. There was a point in my life where I questioned everything. The more I questioned and the more I searched, all the answers led back to Christ, always. And a while back I decided that, you know, Christ was the only way. More recently, he's rededicated my energy, my spirit, and pursue him more. And I'm just thankful that I could take this public confession with my family. So I'm thankful for God.
Ask you, have you been crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you?
Yes, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
And I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Have to read because I know it'll be very brief. All I can say is that I'm thankful to the Lord, my God, who has fixed someone who was so broken through the loving sacrifice of his Son, sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. Every day I'm humbled by his presence in my life that carries me with his love and grace.
Have you been crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you?
Yes, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I'm thankful to be baptized because it brings me closer to Jesus who loves me and died for me. God gives me everything and he gives me righteousness.
I'm not sure if they can see you. I'm going to lift you up just a little bit.
Have you been crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you?
Yes, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and died for me.
And I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. To invite finally Robert and Robert Nichols and Jihan Kim Nichols.
Feel today is just really an amazing day of renewal. I was baptized as an infant, and at that time, my aunt was named my godmother, and she passed away about 2 weeks ago. She's a wonderful, godly woman. Somehow, during the time that she was dying, I made a decision to be baptized today. I don't really understand the connection, but I just knew somehow that I should be baptized and just unified in Christ, and somehow honoring both God and my aunt. I am so encouraged today by seeing friends and family who came today. It's just incredibly moving just to see your love and your support. It's truly by God's grace, I believe, that you're here and that we are here to be baptized. I thank you.
So then, I would ask you, have you been crucified with Christ so that you live no longer, but Christ lives in you?
Yes, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave all for me and loved me.
Robert, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I just thank God, such a holy God, for his cross and resurrection. And he opened my eyes to see the glory, and it just gives me strength and courage every day to live my life. And in his truth, I truly find freedom, and I thank God that he will continue to do so until I face him.
So I would ask, have you been crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you? I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think we're finished.
Why don't we stand as we close out?